Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are in the last day, I think, of July.
Yeah, July 31st. Good morning.
Wednesday the 31st. This will be airing. And hopefully everyone's having a great summer. And it's always interesting, isn't it, that we live in a world where there's different seasons.
I love the change of seasons.
Yeah,
and,
too.
Personally, I have loved the summer in New Hampshire is unseasonably warm. And it's been so much fun. Yeah, just a great joy. It's nice. We're, you know, I think I've told you, we're like 20 minutes to the beach. So even just last night, we met friends at the beach for some live music and just enjoying the beauty of what God's got around us, you know?
That's nice. The, I was talking to a couple, helping them on actually discerning God's will. And, they're from New Hampshire and they said that, they, that I guess a week or so ago, they were, visiting their mother who has no air conditioning. And, they said it was 104 and raining. And she said it was so oppressive that she couldn't even sleep in the bedrooms because it was so awful.
Wow. Yeah. So we did hit one day that got, that may have gotten to 100 with the heat index a little more than that. And I do feel, you know, there, it is not uncommon, especially when you get more in northern New Hampshire. But it's not uncommon in New Hampshire, period, to not have air conditioning. So fortunately for us, we have air conditioning.
Right.
And the pool and the beach nearby. So heat to me feels like, you know, a little bit of nostalgia of growing up in the South. I'm like, oh yeah, this is what summer is supposed to feel like.
That's right. That's right. And you can go out to
But it is very hard on older people in particular and people who do not have the AC because, you know, this area, this region is not used to the temperatures we've had this summer for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, you can go out to your pool. So.
Exactly.
So we've been talking about the issue of our thought life, that clutter, you know, we have two big issues that occupy our time and take us to a place of weariness, heaviness, burden. And first of all, our calendars, which we've talked about, that we have to be willing to let God prune us and do less. And do the things that he calls us to do. And, you know, just because of who he is and what he says, you know, the aspect of Sabbath, the aspect of rest, of margin, the whole pruning process is really one of God's biggest desires for us. But the American believer particularly has a hard time believing that that's good.
Right.
They think if I do less, I'm not going to be very productive. I should be doing more. It isn't that a good thing to do more for God. And God says, actually, I want to give you a life of freedom and joy and rest and peace while you fulfill what I ask you to do.
Right. And so much of what you're talking about, too, is rooted in a faulty identity where we have put our value in what we produce and what we do and not who God says we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and this is particularly true. I've worked with Ken Blanchard, who we've had on as a guest. He wrote The 1 Minute Manager. As he you know, he got older, and he, you know, in essence, didn't work as much as he used to work for his company. And people would ask him, "Well, are you, you know, what are you going to do in your retirement?" He says, "I'm not going to retire." He said, because part of the, and he learned this actually, because as we discipled together, he learned it, that work is part of God's nature. and the exceptional life. And it's not like, well, you reach a certain point, you don't do it anymore.
Right.
It's just that you get reassigned to do things that is in sync with what God has, so that it's always in my next season here, what would you have me do? Which, by the way, often can be, well, you and your spouse need to strengthen your marriage. Mm-hmm. And instead of spending so much time at work or so much time eating at the church, would you spend time together abiding in me and letting me give you a way to do it as you have kids and grandkids, by the way? That's a big deal,
right.
It takes time. And Lynn and I understood, and by the way, you know, a lot of our audience and a lot of people are associated with, you know, being grandparents and keep thinking matriarch and patriarch. And that is you cover the entire family, kids, grandkids, great grandkids, cousins, all that. And God says one of your biggest investments is going to be into that family. And by the way, I've given you that assignment because you're at that place,
right,
where you are building memories and you're there available to help them learn to abide, to learn to follow God's will, to sort through clutter, basically, because they got it all the time. I mean, little kids have it, you know, and great kids have it. And, you know, my grandsons that I've spent a lot of time with lately, they have all kinds of stuff happen. And it's not an easy, oh, yeah, sure, you know, here's the answer. It's, okay, let's process that. And, you know,
right.
How do you understand God's will and what's the truth about that? And there's a heart issue here and how you react to that. And, yeah, I know you're angry. And but you can't do that on I'll see you every Saturday.
Right.
It's when they need it, they need it, you know. And so we recognize, okay, we have a role here. And God told us very specifically, create space in your life to be able to fulfill that.
And prioritize it.
And prioritize it. And by definition, don't do other things. Don't add other things. Because this season is what I'm asking you to be part of. So remember that God's direction of calendar is really around people, relationships, what he wants you to be part of the kingdom work. And it's not program, and it's not not overwork with your business. It's having all that balance out the way he wants it to.
Right.
And that's why, you know, even in when you look at people say, well, I have a balanced lifestyle because I read this book and I got to have so much time here, so much time here, and so much time there. And I say, well, that's a system, but it's much more unique than that. And it's very seasonal. So, you know, look at God will guide you if you have a heart to go. So we've talked about calendar, but we've been talking about the thought life that gets burdened by what we call clutter. And clutter are just real stuff going on.
Right.
And I don't have resolution to it because it's momentary. It's happening.
Right. And new stuff comes up every day.
And I have new stuff all the time. And so we've talked about trusting that God will make it all work, that even when things are falling apart, which I think is why he described it that way, is that even when that happens, which will happen, don't think that that's not going to be resolved just because it's so deep or so serious.
Right.
I can handle that. Well, this next set of verses is really interesting about how we approach this. So go to Psalm 34, verses 8 to 19.
Sure. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Yep. So let's first of all look at what he says about this. And again, he's indicating that life is going to be full of affliction, full of trouble. Mm-hmm. It's not saying you aren't going to have it, or I'm going to remove you from that or protect you from that. It says that you're going to experience this. So he makes a couple of statements in here. He says that in verse 17, when you're in trouble,
mm-hmm.
You cry out. And remember, when you're in trouble, and we kind of have an interesting picture of this. Remember when Peter was able to walk on water?
Right.
And he got caught up in the, this is too much for me, and I mm-hmm. really shouldn't be able to do this, and the storm's too big, and I'm going to fail, and he starts to fail. Well, what does he do? He cries out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus, I'm in trouble. And that's what it looks like, is that, and that's a natural response, by the way.
Right.
Is that, hey, I'm in trouble. I'm crying out for help. Now, a lot of people cry out, but then they take over. Okay, I got to figure this out, or just accept it. Mm-hmm. But he says, if you cry out in verse 17, he says, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now just that alone, why should that be comforting?
To know the God of the universe, the creator of everything, whose voice is over it all, actually hears you.
Yeah.
Is that personal to hear your needs, your circumstance, your heart in that moment?
Yeah. So I'm a very present help in trouble. We learned that last time. And I am going to resolve this. I hear you, because he says, I not only hear you, but I'll deliver you out of mm-hmm. what? All
of your troubles.
So it's not once in a while, some of them, if he just says, you're in trouble. I get it. You're going to call mm-hmm. out to me. I hear you. I'm going to resolve it.
Yeah.
I'll resolve you out of all your troubles. And then he says it again. He says in verse 19, many
mm-hmm.
are the afflictions. And, you know, the word there is things that come against you that are impacting you, annoying you, frustrating you. They're not working for you. He says, yeah, many. You're going to have many.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, of the righteous. Okay, now this is interesting.
Right.
Because we could say, well, maybe, and this is where a lot of people go, maybe I'm not righteous. And because I haven't been abiding, because I haven't been, you know, walking with God, I've been too busy. I'm not really that righteous. Yeah, probably I deserve this.
Right.
And
this must be why I'm not seeing movement.
Yeah. And it's interesting. And this happens a lot. And I've seen this a lot lately, by the way, is that there's a trouble, this experience, an affliction.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm talking to people, their first statement is, mm-hmm. I must be doing something wrong.
Mm.
I wonder what I'm doing wrong. What did I miss? You know, did I not respond? Did I not follow correctly? Did I do something not correct? But he says here, no, the afflictions are going to affect everybody. And remember, you're righteous when you're walking with him. So even while you're walking with him,
mm-hmm.
Covered by his righteousness, you're going to have affliction. But then he makes a statement. But what does he say in verse 19? The Lord does what?
But the Lord delivers them out of it all.
Out of how many?
All.
All. And when I used to teach with Henry Blackaby, you know, he would say, and the word all in the Hebrew means all.
All.
Oh, okay. You know, it's all. And so it's everyone. So he says, first of all, trust that I'm going to deliver you. Now, he said, here are some things that are important for you to walk into the resolution, because it's not, okay, great, I got a problem, take care of it. Mm-hmm. He says, no, you have to approach it by walking with me out of certain heart and process. So number one, in verse 8, he says, blessed is the man who trusts me. Are you willing to walk with me? And see, right. Trust is faith, and faith is certainty of what God says. Mm-hmm. So I got a problem, and what I need to know is, what do you have to say about this? And then he'll speak to it. And then, do you trust what I'm saying?
Right.
Because, you know, we can say, and Henry Blackaby actually used to say this, he said, people say they trust God, but they act like practical atheists.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, yeah, I trust God, but I go off, I really don't trust that he's going to resolve this. I'm going to go take care of it myself.
Right.
He said, that's not really trusting God. And mm-hmm. the reason is that you've prayed, God, take care of it, but you haven't been willing to hear and walk with him into this resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to trust him, he said, blessed are you, trust me. You got to learn to trust me. You will not lack any good thing, because I promise you that. He says in verse 11, listen to me and I'll teach you to walk mm-hmm. with me. And the fear of the Lord is that you'll believe what I have to say is true and you'll follow my instructions.
Right.
So I'll teach you. He said, I'll teach you that. Mm-hmm. So I know you struggle. God says, I know you struggle with this, but come and listen, and I'll teach you what that looks like. And then he says in verse 13 and 14, he said, now this is critical to how you approach releasing the burden and following me. He said, one, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, this is very profound. The word evil here is, in essence, the trouble itself.
Okay.
So you're experiencing trouble, and it's annoying, frustrating, irritating. It's causing you to stumble. It's in the way. It's not working very well.
Mm-hmm.
And that word evil would be basically equivalent to trouble. So it's not dark, awful, black. This isn't even, right. He's not even talking about demonic.
Okay.
He's just saying it's irritating, it's frustrating, it's happening to you. And he says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. And what it is that you're talking about the problem all the time.
Oh, interesting.
You're doing is saying, you know, this is awful, this is awful, this is awful. I'm mad. I can't get around it. I can't do it. There'll never be anybody to help me. Even God won't help me, which is why he calls it deceit. Is you're speaking a lie. And like, for example, mm-hmm. When God called the Israelites to go to the Promised Land,
mm-hmm.
and they sent out the spies, and they came back and said, "Yeah, they're too big, and they've never been defeated, so we're going to get killed here." And they gave four reasons for why they weren't going to go, and they mm-hmm. and this is what they said. See, they spoke it. They said, if only we had stayed in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by the way, remember, they were slaves and oppressed, right. and lived a life of difficulty.
And not a good thing to stay in, right?
if only we had, that would be one. If I wouldn't have done this, if I had just done something different, I wouldn't have this problem. Two is, why did God bring us here to kill us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, what did God say to him? I'm taking you where?
To the Promised Land.
Okay.
To something better.
So did God say, I'm bringing you here to kill you?
No.
No. See, they're speaking deceit. See what it means? Mm-hmm. They're speaking a lie. They're not listening to what God says. They're saying mm-hmm. that God is doing this because. Why did right. God bring us here? They're actually speaking deceit
mm-hmm.
because they're not willing to process the truth, and they're speaking into it. And then wouldn't it be better if, you know, we... decided, you know, to do something else, and let's go get a different leader. So they're speaking evil mm-hmm. because they're focused on the problem.
Right.
And all they do is say, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. This is awful. We're never going to get there. God's not going to help us. And mm-hmm. and he says, you've got to come to a place where you say, I'm not going to go that way. But rather, in verse 14, he says this, depart from that
mm-hmm.
and do good, which is, okay, Father, what do you want me to, where do you want me to go?
Right.
Seek shalom, favor, and pursue it. The favor here would be, remember, it's in the context of trouble, God's going to resolve it.
Right.
So he said this, when it says depart from evil, mm-hmm. it's, I got trouble. When you depart from evil, you're saying, I don't need to accept this.
Mm.
I don't need to stay here. I don't need to just live with it and go to resignation. He said, actually, mm-hmm. I want you to say, you know what? This isn't what God has for me. I'm experiencing it. That's mm-hmm. okay. It's here. But I don't need to live this way. I don't need to live with this. God will resolve it. I'll pursue his favor and expect it, and I'm going to go that way. And so mm-hmm. when you're saying, God, I'll deliver you out of all of them, he says, you're going to have to say something and believe something that don't accept this, but now come with me mm-hmm. and pursue my resolution. Walk with me, and I'll resolve it for you. Don't worry. I'm going to deliver to you, and I'm near to those who have a contrite heart. And a contrite heart is that I'm surrendered mm-hmm. to God, who instead of me with a prideful heart
right.
saying, I'm going to take care of this myself, or I'll just live with it and it'll mm-hmm. be awful, is that God said, you don't need to do that, but rather pursue me. And a contrite heart is, I have a heart to pursue you.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's go. What do you have to say? And then God will give you steps to the resolution of here's what I want you to do, and here's what I want you to understand, and here's how it goes. So, like, for example, with Jehoshaphat, where his world was completely crumbling because everybody was coming against him, he was fearful and said, you know, this is I'm afraid of this. He said, but instead of me saying, woe is me,
mm-hmm.
and I guess we're going to get destroyed, and I guess this is it, and why bother, and who cares, and we might as well just give up. We should be speaking evil, by the way. He said, you know what? Let's go to God.
Mm-hmm.
God, what do you got to say about this? We don't know what to do. Right. We know what you've said about covenant, so we're believing that you're going to resolve this for us, but we don't know exactly how. And we're willing to follow you because we're coming to seek you, not ourselves. So what do you have to say? God said, it's not your battle, but mine. And then he says, tomorrow, go down to this specific place mm-hmm. as if you're going to war. And you get there. And as you get there, you'll see what I'm about ready to do. But you have to take that step of obedience.
Mm.
And I told you what to do, and you heard what I had to do. And you were seeking shalom. You were pursuing, you know, the answer. Let's go. And he did, and by the way. Now, what he could have said is, hey, I'm glad it's your battle, not mine. We're going back to Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
and let us know when you win.
When you've taken care of it,
and
right?
God would have said, well, you just thwarted, which is what mm-hmm. what the Israelites who were given the promised land, I'm not even willing to pursue God and follow right. him. I've decided I'm not going to go. And God said, okay, you've just thwarted my will. I said I'm taking the promised land. Mm-hmm. But you're not willing to go, so you've just thwarted my ability to deliver it to you. By the way, they all died outside of God's will.
Right.
They had babies, by the way, and they grew up. And God says, hey,
would you like to go?
They said, yeah, we're happy to go. And then he said, okay, follow my steps.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do this at Jericho. We're going to do this next. We're going to do this next, city by city by city. It took them 5 years to fulfill the promised land, but they had to follow the resolution. Step by step by step. So that as we look at this, and then next time, we're running out of time here, but you had come across in your time in the Word a really interesting story about Paul that applies here. So we'll come back and we'll pick it up there of applying this truth to actually a real situation that we can look at in Scripture with Paul. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of what you're speaking to us, your life for us, that you're telling us you will deliver us out of all the trouble. We can rest assured, seek shalom, seek peace, pursue it by saying we don't need to live with this, but we need with a humble heart to follow you, and you will bring resolution. And we just pray that as we're doing that, we can be released of the burden and trust that you're going to provide the answers. And we praise you and thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much, Rich. Great conversation. If you have questions about today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.